Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider the words of the Old Testament lesson today, which concluded with these words. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. The word of our God. My dear Christian friends and friends of Shoreland, leave it to our gracious God to find a way to give everyday things a spiritual meaning. One thing it is for anyone to look up at the stars, but what a beautiful thing it is for us as Christians to be able to look at stars and remember that Jesus says that in heaven we will shine like the stars. Or to pick up an ordinary loaf of bread and be reminded that Jesus is the bread of life. It shouldn't surprise us then that in our readings today, they're all connected by one concept of an everyday event called anointing. What is anointing all about? The word simply anoint means to smear or pour oil on something, and for the most part, in those days and in that region of the world, it was olive oil that was used. Virtually for everything, people anointed everything. They anointed their food. They poured it on their food. It was a substitute for butter or for different oils. They used it for cosmetic purposes to keep their skin soft in that Middle East heat. They used it for welcoming guests into the home. If a person had taken a long journey, you not only received food, but you also received oil for your hands and for your feet and for your head. They used it for lamps. They used it for all of their medicines. Get a wound, anoint your wound with oil. And finally, you anointed the body when it had died. What's that anointing all about? Well, it shouldn't surprise us. You see that God takes something so everyday and he applies a spiritual significance to it. At the Mount Sinai, God told Moses, anoint Aaron, the high priest. And so Moses took that horn of oil and poured it on his head. And everybody knew that Aaron was set aside for a special purpose. And so it was throughout the course of the days of the Old Testament people. When you saw a person being anointed, you knew that God was setting them aside for something important, whether it was a king or a priest or even the prophets. We focus on that idea of anointing today, the anointing of David, the anointing of Jesus, and our own anointing. And it's important for us to recognize the spiritual purposes of anointing. And we pray that as we look at the anointing of David, we'll learn a little bit more about how God uses something so everyday for us to remind us of the special purposes that he has for us. We see that that special anointed for spiritual service means that we are chosen for a special purpose, and then secondly, that we are empowered for that special purpose. David was anointed for a very special purpose, to be the next king of Israel. Saul, the current king of Israel, had defied the word of the Lord on a number of occasions, and it grieved Samuel. Saul was told to completely annihilate the Amalekites off of the face of the earth. The Amalekites had been very, very, very mean and bitter to the children of Israel when they wandered in the desert. God said, I've had enough of them. But instead of doing what God had commanded, Saul decided he was going to capture the king and then save the very best of the cattle and sheep and goats and use those things for sacrifice. And the Lord was not happy. And Samuel came to Saul, and he said to him, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? He said, rebellion is like divination and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. And to Saul he said, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. But so that Samuel wouldn't sit around and mope, the Lord put him on assignment and told him to find a new king. The prophet wasn't excited about this because he knew that Saul was a very angry man at times, and he was thinking that he would get killed for doing this. Nevertheless, he was told, go. And he went down to Bethlehem. And he decided to have a sacrifice, a usual custom at that time. What made David so special that he was going to be the next king? He was the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse. Jesse, of course, was the grandson of Boaz and Ruth. You remember that story from the Old Testament, Ruth the Moabitess? To be sure, he was a marvelous musician. He seemed to have a lot of good things going for him. He was very skilled as a shepherd boy. He was actually even very good looking. But he wasn't in the presence of Samuel. It was the other sons that Samuel's eye caught. He first noticed the oldest, Eliab, and he thought, this man, he's tall, he's strong, he must be the one the Lord wants for a king. And the Lord said, I have rejected him, not from the kingdom of God, but from being a king. And all of the other sons passed by too, and there was none that pleased the Lord. Jesse hadn't even thought about David. But when Samuel found out there was one more boy, he said, bring him here. And at first sight, God said, now this is the one. Anoint him. And so he took that horn of oil and he poured it over David's head. And the whole family watched in wonder because they realized that he was set aside for special service. Now, the text is kind of sketchy here. We don't even know if Samuel told him that he was anointed to be the king or if he was anointed for something else. That's all kind of up in the air, and theologians talk about all of the different ways that might have happened, things that might have happened there. But the important thing for us to remember is that at that moment, when that oil was poured on his head, the Bible says, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord was upon David in power. Now, just back to that question of hand, what made David set apart from his brothers that he would be king? His good looks, his stature, his gifts certainly were a wonderful thing, but that's not why the Lord chose him. Our text says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The original text says, man sees to the eyes. That's as far as we go, but the Lord sees to the heart. Now, remembering what happened to Saul helps us understand these words better. God was looking for a heart that was open to receive his gifts, that hungered and thirsted for the fellowship of God, that was ready to hear the word of the Lord and obey it. He was looking for a heart, not like Saul's, but one that could be molded and shaped by the word of God. The Lord looks at the heart, and he saw what he wanted in David's heart. The Lord looks at the heart, our hearts. Underneath all the nice clothes that we're wearing today, what does he see when he looks into your heart? Does that thought scare you? Does it make you tremble? Because you think of the things that lie in the heart. What is the evil that lurks in your heart like the evil lurks in my heart? To be honest and to be fair, I would say that I'm not all that happy when the Lord looks at my heart. When I look in the mirror of the law, I'm downright terrified. David said in the Psalms, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And you know the secrets of my heart. And there are secrets there that are not very flattering. And if the law was the only thing we could look at our heart in and through, we would be lost. But you and I, by the undeserved love of God, can look at this passage from the side of the gospel. Because God would not let our sinful hearts die. And that's why Jesus stepped into Jordan's stream with John the Baptist. St. Peter says about the baptism of Jesus that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he did that true twofold task as man that only he as the God-man can do. Live that perfect life and obey every dotting of the I and crossing of the T of God's commandments that was our responsibility, and to do it for us. Number one, what you and I lacked before God was righteousness, and Jesus lived a perfect life of righteousness. But on top of that, he was given over to death to take away every one of our sins and offenses. And not just the sins of word and deed, but also the secret sins of our heart as well. And what a relief you and I have, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ and his perfect righteousness given to us through faith is what blankets our heart when God looks at the heart. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, St. John said in his first letter. That anointing he's talking about, of course, is that anointing of the waters of baptism. Remember how he said that oil in the Old Testament was used as a healing agent and a cleansing agent? Well, God looks into our hearts too. Through baptism, he sees a washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Spirit. He sees that we are chosen through baptism for a special purpose. We are now members of his family. We are not members of the devil's family anymore. God has freed us from the life of slavish obedience to our sinful nature and has renewed us and cleansed us and anointed us to a new life, a life of thanksgiving for the Lord. We are chosen for a spiritual purpose. And every time we anoint ourselves with water, whatever way it may be, we are simply reminded of the fact that we belong to God, that he has washed us, that he has cleansed us. And every time that water touches us, we can be reminded of the great thing that God has done for us by giving us faith and giving us hope and giving us life. And it is the heart that matters. And into a heart that is renewed and restored and revived, baptism is what does those things. And the Lord makes our heart a dwelling place. He molds us and he shapes us into doing his will. What grace is ours that the King of creation would want to dwell in our hearts? And that he does. And that's why we always say, shape our hearts, Lord. Shape our hearts through your will. But lest we get the idea that God anoints us for a special purpose and then leaves us alone to carry it out, we also see in our text what happened to David. He was anointed for that special purpose, but then he was empowered for that special purpose. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Anointing in the Old Testament was accompanied by the bestowal of the Holy Spirit, who gave David the power, the gifts and the power to carry out his purposes. And it is true in the New Testament times for us today too. We are empowered for a special purpose, Paul says, when we are washed and renewed, whom God has poured out generously to us in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord empowered David, you know, to do a lot of pretty wild things, pretty wonderful things. In the next chapter, he takes five stones and a slingshot, and he kills that giant Goliath. David is the one who is a mighty warrior Given the ability to go out and fight and win every one of his battles by the power of the Lord. He's the one that brought the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem so that God's presence would be in Jerusalem, the city that he had chosen. He was the one who was given the power by the Holy Spirit to write so many of the Psalms that you and I still today find great comfort in reading and singing. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a blessing for his people. And you and I are empowered for nothing less, to be a blessing. When a little boy in a Christian day school, he wasn't exceptionally bright or anything like that, but he was always very attentive. And one day the teacher asked all of the students to say, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" And everybody gave their answers, and then he got up and he said, "Well, I really don't know yet, but I do know that I want to be a blessing for everyone else." And his answer, more than any others, showed that he knew that knows the high calling of us as Christians. And it is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to be a blessing. Now, I don't know if we often think of it that much, but you know those fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, those things that the Holy Spirit gives us, he empowers us in those things. And how much our world today needs those fruits of the Spirit abounding in our lives. And the Spirit is always there, increasing those fruits when we turn to him and we seek him to do so. But more than that, the Holy Spirit has also distributed to his church so many marvelous gifts. He has given each one through baptism special gifts which they can use to benefit others. And he empowers you to make use of the gifts that you have been given. It doesn't matter how many gifts you receive. It doesn't matter what gifts you give. The Lord has given you those things and empowered you to use them and to use them for the blessing of others. There's an old gentleman who was ravaged by war and thought for a long time that his opportunities for service and being a blessing were gone, but he never gave up hope. Every Sunday he would come to church and sing praises to the one, sing praises with that one gift that the war didn't take away, his beautiful angelic voice. And those who heard him, well, to many, that was one of the best gifts of the congregation. How have you received those blessings that the Lord has given for you, to you? Do you take them for granted? Do you think they're not important? You think it's better that somebody else can use theirs rather than you yours? Do you use yours? Are you connecting yourself to your Lord through the Word and through the sacrament to grow, to be more empowered to use those? Our school theme this year is God's love and our strength. And his love compels us as youth, as children, as teens, as adults, to make the very best use of the gifts that God has given us. Saul's falling away ought to serve as a warning for us. He reminds us that even though the Lord wants us to enjoy these blessings, through the stubbornness of our own heart, we can lose the gifts of God. And that's why the Lord tells us, do not harden your hearts. And why he says, eagerly desire these gifts. And they all come to you through the gift of baptism, and you are empowered through that gift of baptism. There was an emperor in the Middle Ages whose name was Louis the Holy. He had a vast empire, and he had everything that a man could desire. And somebody once asked him, "What is your most prized possession?" And humble Louis said, "It's the water that was poured over my head at baptism." That everyday thing, that everyday event of using water, God has told us is filled with the power of his love and his grace for our lives. He's given it to you for spiritual service. He has given you special service. And he has empowered you to use those gifts of service. Remember that the next time you wash your hands or you use water. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.